For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Gegenpress, part of the 90 Min Podcast Network. We are back talking about all things Liverpool for the next half an hour. I'm joined, of course, as always, by the toppest of legacy Reds, probably the youngest legacy Red as well, actually, Mr. Alex Purdy. How are you?
I'm okay. As you two know, I'm nursing an injury at the moment, another Liverpool injury.
Right.
Can we hear the news?
Let me just introduce our other co-host, and then we'll come back to this breaking
far more
injury
important.
News.
Sorry.
Yeah. quickly, we also have Emma Sanders here. Emma, how are you? No injuries for you, I hope.
All good. I'm just excited now. Well, I don't know whether excited is the right word, but hoping that Perds has injury. Good news on the injury front. Yeah.
Well, he's definitely sat down, so it could be, I don't know, both legs amputated. I don't know what happened here.
Okay. Can't see any crutches in the background.
I like how you're playing through the pain as well, unlike all of Liverpool's other injuries.
Yeah, I've got an assist, a world-class assist on it. Anyway, so last Friday, gone up for a header and just landed straight on the side of my foot. I was actually nowhere near the ball. I just did it for jokes. And this was like 30 seconds in.
So you're just jumping in the air randomly.
Yeah, I mean, it was going over my head, but like four of me wouldn't have got it. So I have broken it out for 6 weeks.
No,
that's... actually broken it.
Yeah,
because when you said yesterday in the group chat that you'd gone over on your ankle, and I thought, yeah, I've done that several times, and it looks horrible, and it goes up massive. But then every time I've been to A&E, they've just been like, oh, you've just torn ligaments, it's just a sprain or whatever. But you've actually,
yeah,
bone I has had, been damaged.
Yeah, I had all of that blown up. Looks horrible, but it's also broken. So,
oh no.
Yeah,
that's awful news.
It is, yeah.
Metatarsal, which bone are we talking here?
I don't know. I forgot what you said. I just heard 6 weeks and I was like, oh,
foot of bone.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Have you got one of those like fancy boots on?
Yeah, I'll try and show you. I mean, podcast listeners, this is not good audio, but can you see that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah. I can confirm it is a boot.
It's a big boot.
Yeah, a big like ski boot.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
For the audio listeners, that same boot, my housemate did a similar thing, although he was actually on a night out and tried to sort of replicate a goal that he scored in five-a-side and broke his foot. And we were literally travelling. I mean, it is, but we were literally travelling to Barcelona like 6 days later or something. We still went, and he was like, I'm not taking the crutches. And he absolutely insisted that we were going to walk around Barcelona with his boot on. I think it's fair to say we were there for about 4 hours, and then he was like, I need to find somewhere to buy painkillers. So,
jeez.
Yeah. It was a great excuse, because then I was like, oh, we'll have to go to the pub and, you know, sit down. And the alcohol will help, you know, with the pain. So we just got drunk the whole time. It was brilliant.
I'll do that.
Sound good. Yeah. There you go. Get drunk. Go to Barcelona. There's your advice.
Go to the pub.
Yeah, listen to my advice. It's good, really, really good.
Emma, what's the worst injury, footballing or otherwise, that you've ever had?
Weirdly enough, as well, it's just come up to the 3-year anniversary of I actually did a Lloris Karius in five-a-side and broke my wrist very badly, actually.
No way. So you were in goal at the time, or?
Yeah, so like I play with like the lads from work usually we play on Tuesdays. At the moment, we're now playing on Fridays. But yeah, we all rotate and go in goals. So none of us are keepers, and we don't have gloves or anything like that. Because you're literally just in for sort of 5 minutes. Classic five-a-side rules. And and I went in, and this lad who's got a proper shot on him absolutely smashed it. Most people would have left it, but I was like, I'm going to save this. Attempted to save it with one hand, because it came that quick that obviously I didn't react quick enough to get to, and it just it completely snapped it back. So I broke it. I think I broke it in four places. I had to get metal put in it and all this kind of stuff. I've still got scar again, not for the audio listeners. You probably can't see very well, but...
Oh, no, yeah, I can see it. Oh, it looks like a little shark bite or something. That's crazy.
Yeah, there you go. When it's sunny, you can really see it. But yeah, so it came up on my sort of social media memories this week. That it was 3 years. Yeah, 3 years since my sad wrist.
Wow, yeah, that's an injury.
Did you save it? Did it go in?
No, so that's the worst bit, is that it went in. Rolled in.
I was absolutely fuming. Chocolate wrist.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't want to get too graphic, but it full on flopped back. So as soon as I did it, you could see it, and I was like, and the ball just sort of rolled in, and I was like,
that's the worst. If the ball had flown in and like rippled the net, then that's like fair enough. But just the fact I can just see this tragic crinkling in over the line.
And I probably, if I wasn't being so dramatic about the fact that, you know, I thought my hand was about to flop off, then I probably could have still saved it. Like, I probably could have got back up and, you know, scraped it off the line. But by that point, I was sort of, you know, less concerned about the fan side. But what about you, Andy?
I've never done anything really bad. Like, I've done my ankle a couple of times, but it's only ever, as I said, it's only ever been ligaments where it just goes up massive. And yeah, you can't sort of play for 2 or 3 weeks. I've just got really weak, like chocolate ankles that I go over on them regularly. But I was thinking the worst thing is actually I broke someone else's foot once.
Oh, no.
But I lost the ball. And it was one of those things where like you lose the ball and you feel really bad about it. So you just like run and lose position and just go crazy to try and get it back. And I maintained that the tackle was fine, but it was excessive for like Thursday night, 7-a-side. I think he was he'd had problems with it before, and I think it was just too much and he wasn't expecting that level of a tackle. And he went off and I was like, it'll be fine. And he was like, yeah, I'll be fine. And then just the next day, he just got a message set from a mutual friend just saying, yeah, he broke it and he was in hospital and stuff. I was like,
No.
So I had to send like a really sheepish apology and stuff on Facebook. And because I don't know him very well, and I don't think he's ever forgiven me, which is probably fair enough, to be honest, ladies and gentlemen. But there you go.
Don't play football with Andy.
Did you do the classic, I got the ball?
Yeah, I did at the time, which probably made it a lot worse.
Well, you've told everyone now. That's it. You're guilt free. You've admitted it. You've let it out. We go again.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it happens to the best of us, I guess, kind of. Did the guy who shot broke your wrist? Did he apologize or say anything? Or was he just laughing?
Oh, massively.
At you?
Yeah. Oh no. Like, because obviously I work with him, so he was. It was literally, and to make it worse. So it was obviously in 2018. It was just before the World Cup, that was my first year at BBC. So I had to miss all of the group stages because obviously I couldn't type fast enough or anything. So I was devastated. So I was crying in A&E. Probably the first person they've ever seen crying when they said, oh yeah, you'll have to take time off work. And I was like, obviously when he found out that I had to miss, I think I came, so my first game was Brazil's last 16. I did a proper Wayne Rooney comeback and came back for the knockout stages.
Not actually fit.
And I just about made it through to the final. I had to take painkillers before my shifts because it was like, obviously it was really painful, like sort of, you know, typing quickly. But he, bless him, he sent me flowers and people from work were really good. And my boss actually, I say my boss, he's like sort of one of my football editors, he plays football with us. So he was the one who drove me to surgery the next day, and he brought me the Panini sticker book, the World Cup. So I had something to do in hospital, but extremely apologetic.
That would be a nightmare to do one-handed though.
Exactly.
Like, stickers and stuff.
That's what everyone said because it was so difficult. That was part of the joke, so I then had to one-handedly stick the stickers in my it's the most untidy sticker book, and I'm a little bit OCD with stuff like that, he knew that, so it really bugged me.
Should we talk about Liverpool after all of this? Right, I made a big thing last week of saying how the season was over and it was really boring and we were done and top four was not going to happen. And then we beat Southampton 2-0 in, frankly, a pretty terrible game. And now I'm full on thinking that we can actually do this again and Tottenham might actually be on. Tottenham lost, West Ham lost, Chelsea won, but Leicester keep dropping points. I mean, Perds, talk to me. Where are we now in the season?
I don't want to do it.
Because if we win our game in hand, and it's a big if against Manchester United, we're 3 points behind Leicester?
We've said if every podcast, I think, this season. If we do this, if we win that. But it's Man United away. I know we're all getting carried away, me included, because you look at the table, it's like, 4 points, 3 points, if we win that, and we'll do it. But it's Man United away, and we hardly ever win there, if ever win there, recently.
I was going to bring this up later. Do you remember the last time we did win at Old Trafford?
I was at Old Trafford for the... when we beat them in the Europa League. I think we beat them in, like, was it 2016? Coutinho scored that goal. I'm not sure about the league, though.
2014, yes. We were on for the league.
Yes, exactly that. So I think Emma's right on the last time we won at Old Trafford, but last time the league was that 2014 game when it was, like, I don't know if it was Moyes' last game, but it was, it was the sort of the final nail in the coffin of David Moyes' Man United tenure.
We nailed that trivia there, Pids.
Well done.
I'm like so shocked. Like, I think Andy's absolutely undersold it there. Like, I think we should be running around the kitchen doing celebrations here.
I can't. I've broken my foot.
Me, yeah.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll come on to that a little bit later. Put a pin in that. What did we think of the Southampton game? 2-0 wasn't amazing showing, but it was pretty solid performance, didn't you think, Emma?
Yeah, I was doing the live text for this and everyone was like obviously tweeting in to like BBC Football saying, oh, just waiting for the inevitable equaliser or, you know, the late goal. And so that was the most pleasing thing for me, was that Liverpool managed to hold on. And I didn't really feel like a goal was coming. I did kind of get the sense that they would hold on. I don't know whether I was on my own in that, but so for me, that was kind of a bit of progress to what we've seen recently. I just think at the back, Reece Williams and Nat Phillips did a really good job.
Their first clean sheet together.
Yeah, and I think individually they were both pretty solid. Understandably, there was a couple of mistakes, but you get that with defenders anyway, let alone kids at the back. So, midfield I thought looked okay. Again, not quite as sharp up front, but I think overall it was all right. So,
And we'll take that, won't we? Right. I agree with you. There weren't too many moments where I thought, like, oh God, or periods of play where I thought Southampton going to get an equaliser here, the same we've seen with like Newcastle and all these other games recently. But there were a couple of moments where Shea Adams got in behind, or that pass from Alisson that went straight to him. That was probably the moment. But yeah, getting through that was pretty big. Perz, what did you make of the whole thing?
I love the optimism, but I have to say, I thought for the last 20 minutes we were definitely going to equalise. So very happy that you two were right and we didn't. We just kept giving the ball away. We looked nervous. I thought Robertson was just had a nosebleed every time he went forward, basically, unfortunately. And you've just mentioned those two chances, but even Obafemi coming on, like his first chance is smashing half volley down the middle. Yeah. It's like, puts that either side of Alisson and it's done. It's like, come on, boys, wake up. But it will do, as we just said. It was painful. Actually, I predicted last week it would be a 2-0, but a painful 2-0. Direct quote, okay? Like, that's exactly what happened.
I
put it on Twitter straight after the game. Like, this will bang. One like. So, I don't know what's going on.
Was that your mum?
Yeah. It was her burner account. Nabby. Yeah.
You could have texted us, then he would have got three likes.
Well, yeah, exactly. I added Gegenpress podcast and someone replied saying, like, stop it, you've just won, just enjoy it. And you like that, Andy, probably. Was that you?
I can't remember, actually.
That's hilarious.
You've got access, I've got access, and that's it. And I didn't like it.
Interesting. I'll have to look into that later. See what happened.
I won't clip this up anymore.
Whatever. Yeah. Something I am more sure about is Thiago looked very good, and I think it was probably his best performance in an attacking sense for a little while. And obviously he got the goal at the end. Very nice goal. Good finish. Are we starting to see the best of Thiago now? I think I've said this quite a lot of times this season. I'm getting deja vu as I say it, but is it happening? Are we going to see a sort of a different breed of Thiago now?
Go on, Peds.
Oh, okay. I'd like to say yes, but he did have quite a iffy game, in my opinion. There's a few on the edge of the box that he gave away or just slow. But towards the end of the game, he grew into it. And yeah, with having Fabinho behind him is absolutely key. And we leveled this at United with unlock Pogba, buy a DM and unlock him. But it's actually working now with Thiago, and so good to see him score that goal.
There was that moment as well where I think it was at 1-0 when we were trying to sort of get out of our own half, and he just pirouetted about three players in one move and won the foul. And that was just like, yes, this is what we bought him for. We're finally starting to see a bit more of him.
Oh, the headers as well. Still winning headers when he just has no right to. I love that.
Yeah, he's about 4'11" and he's up against Yannick Vestergaard or something. Emma, what's your take on the Thiago situation at the moment?
Yeah, he definitely looked more like his best. I think I absolutely agree with Perds. I think it's really key that he's got Fabinho behind him, but I still think he hasn't quite got up to the intensity of sort of the way that Liverpool play. And I also think that isn't helped by the fact that I think the runs that we're making up front haven't been anywhere near as good this season. And also the width, we haven't had the same kind of width with Trent and Robertson as we've had previously. So I think he's perhaps having to delay his passes because he's not got quite as much on as we perhaps like would have had. So I think that has an impact on, you know, him perhaps delaying or dallying over the ball a little bit. So hopefully that will come. But yeah, I think overall I was pleased. And I think the goal for the cap off is, I agree, like probably his best performance for Liverpool so far.
Yeah, first goal in the Premier League for Thiago. First combination this season for Mohamed Salah and Sadio Mane. That seems absolutely crazy to me. Can you believe that? I mean, what's happened there this season? Because obviously we talked a lot about Liverpool as a collective, as an attacking force, not being quite at it this season. But that kind of sums it up, that there's not enough interplay between them that we've seen in recent seasons. Emma, I'm going to throw that to you to try and expand on.
Yeah, I actually tweeted that and got loads of stick from people saying like, oh, stop trying to fuel the Mane Salah hatred thing. And I was I was like, I just tweeted a fact. Like, it blows my mind because you tweet like a stat and then people go like, oh my God, you're saying that Mane hates Salah. I was like, I've not said that at all. It's just a fact. That blew my mind.
It could be worse. It could be like Perds and you're not getting any engagement at all.
Well, so. That's true. Yeah.
One like.
he's got a frozen foot. We need to be nice. The reason why I tweeted it was because as soon as it popped up, I was like, that's mad. Like, I had the same reaction. Yeah. Like, that was the extent of my reaction, was what a mad stat. So but yeah, I think it shows that the combinations haven't been there this season. Because I'd be interested to see what kind of combinations Firmino and Mane have had, or Firmino and Salah, and perhaps Fabinho and Salah, those kind of combinations. I think obviously with Henderson missing, I think that's been massive for Liverpool, because I do think he is that kind of in-between man who often brings those three together. I think we've missed that because Thiago hasn't quite been that player. So that's why I think the combinations haven't quite been there, but it is still crazy. And I think that just shows, I think, the lack of, kind of gel that we've got in attack at the moment. So I was a little bit concerned when I saw that stat, because I thought, that's something that needs to change.
Looking at the overall team stats, Mane has 5 assists this season and Salah has 4. Obviously only one has been to the other. A little bit sort of low numbers, but the really worrying thing for me is that from our midfielders, nobody's got more than 2 Premier League assists this season. And that's Shaqiri, and you can sort of count him as an attacker. So it's 1 for Curtis Jones, 1 for Oxlade-Chamberlain, 1 for Milner, 1 for Henderson. I know a lot of them have had injuries and have been in and out of the team, but unless it's Trent or Robertson playing it on, or Firmino playing it on, there's very little in the way of like creativity attacking creativity coming, like final ball creativity coming from this Liverpool team at the moment, which is a shame. I think it doesn't help if we're talking about Mane and Salah. They're both, their sort of game is to be that final pass, is to be the final one. And I don't think you can necessarily always have them both trying to do that. And I think in previous seasons, we've seen them both be a bit more selfless. But yeah, I think that, that it just brings home that we need something more from the midfield in a way that we haven't.
And we need to be more clinical, being so wasteful. That's another thing. And that's what loads of people are commenting, saying like, oh, he's missed all these chances. And it was almost like a competition of who's missed more chances, which I was like, again, I don't get that. Like the whole Liverpool team have missed countless chances and that doesn't help. So when you're looking at numbers in terms of assists and goals, they're both of them. I'm pretty sure on this, although I don't have the numbers in front of me, but both of them, their numbers are so much lower than previous seasons. That's in both categories, in assists and goals. So that in itself, you know, says enough, I think.
Definitely. Perds, what's your big takeaway from those kind of stats? Is it that we need another creative midfielder, or is it that we need somebody more clinical in the box, or just to change the way they play, or what are you taking from those stats?
It shows that we've got a lot of limitations in our team, in that we basically rely on the fullbacks to provide for everyone, like we have the past couple of seasons. And when they're not firing, because they haven't got protection behind them this season, we're just limited. So that's the main one from seeing that. But then, yeah, also it is, we're crying out for a proper number nine still. We managed to get away with it as Bobby was on fire for a few seasons, but now he's started his decline, unfortunately. So we do need a proper goal scorer. And then, yeah, looking at that midfield as well, we've got Curtis Jones. And then is that it for attacking midfielders? Like, that's just not enough. You look at City and they've got like 10.
I guess the idea is that, I mean, Oxlade-Chamberlain can do that role, and Keita is supposed to be that kind of thrusting midfielder as well.
It's not enough, and it's especially not enough when they're the most injury-prone players in the league. And no, Oxlade-Chamberlain's on one assist, Keita's hardly played. You know, on paper, if they were fit, then we're probably just about enough. But even then, you're probably looking at getting a proper attacking mid, Coutinho-esque style. Not Coutinho. I don't want him back, I'm just saying.
I'd like to see I would like to see us bring in another number nine and move Firmino into that midfield role, because I think he could do that role.
And that would be more of like a 4-2-3-1 kind of situation then. Yeah.
In the hole.
And I'm picturing this obviously with, you know, with Van Dijk, with Gomez, with Henderson. So in an ideal world, you'd have either Henderson and Thiago alongside Fabinho. And then probably, Firmino dropping into that. Like, I'd love to see Firmino in that role, because I think he does that anyway. And then you still get the sort of, you know, the pressing off the ball. And but yeah, I agree. I think you need an out and out striker, which Liverpool haven't had for years now. I can't remember the last time. I mean, we obviously had Sturridge, but he wasn't in his prime. So yeah,
not since Suarez, really. If we had a proper striker,
Is he coming back as well?
I doubt it, and also he cost a lot of money and he is quite old, although he is still doing the business. He might be on for a league title in Spain, so good luck to him. One player that we have been linked with, but certainly will not solve those kind of striking worries, is Yves Bissouma of Brighton. He looks like he would be more of a Wijnaldum kind of replacement, assuming that he goes in the summer on a free. I'll throw that back to you, Emma. Do you know much about Bissouma as a player, or is he the kind of player that you think Liverpool do need, or are there other priorities?
Yeah, I've watched a lot of Brighton this season, worked on them a lot this season. I really like him. I think he's a really dynamic player. He reads the game really well. I think he's got a lot of qualities which are similar to Ronaldo. So in terms of a like-for-like replacement, I'd be more than happy to see Bissouma at Liverpool, but it's just a case of how much you're going to pay for him, because he is absolutely in Brighton's sort of top tier. It depends on how much they're asking. But I think you have to replace Wijnaldum. So if you're bringing in Bissouma for a reasonable price, I think that's fine. But as Perth says, I think I'd still like to go out and get a kind of a top tier midfielder and a top tier striker to complement that. As a squad player, very, very good, very talented player. So I'd be happy with that.
Yeah. Like, Percy, you'd be thinking that you'd need a striker, maybe a more attacking midfielder, someone like Bissouma to to cover Wijnaldum's loss, and then maybe a defender as well then? Like, even if, well, it looks like it will be Kabak and or Konate coming into the summer. Are those the kind of the positions that you're expecting Liverpool to strengthen in this summer?
Yeah, I think if Wijnaldum goes, then Bissouma instantly becomes top of our list, because Wijnaldum's basically played every game this season, and without him, God knows where we'd be.
Well, for the last lower, like three
even
seasons.
Lower than sixth. Yeah, exactly. So the striker could take a back seat yet again, which would be unfortunate. But Konate's basically over the line. Then you're looking at Bissouma. And you'd probably have to miss out on that attacking midfielder if you're looking for centre-back, centre-mid and striker. A fourth one's probably too much to ask, I think.
Unless you can find somebody again, and we've already got Jota, but maybe somebody that can play deeper and play a striker, or play wide and play a striker, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for Harvey Elliott to come back. So that could be like our fourth signing, in a way, getting him back.
Yeah, you're just excited for somebody younger than you to be involved.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. Imagine that.
All right. Well, we will take a quick break there. And when we come back, we'll be talking about the game against Manchester United this Thursday. Okay. So we already mentioned the last time Liverpool won at Old Trafford in the Premier League was 2014. So the omens aren't amazing. Klopp has said that Liverpool will need to win all four of their remaining Premier League games in order to stand a chance of getting top four. Can we do this, Emma? Is it on?
I still don't think Liverpool will have enough. It's out of their hands. It's out of their hands. I mean, you're literally relying on Chelsea and Leicester and West Ham all, you know, completely bottling it.
I don't think we need to worry about Chelsea. I think if we just focus on Leicester and West Ham, I think we've already got the run on Tottenham. So just if we're going for that final four spot, I think Chelsea will secure in third now.
I mean, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be difficult for Leicester, I think, because it's out of their hands. I think I agree. I think if they beat Man United, that does change things. But I think Liverpool have to win the next four games. That's it. Like, to stand a chance, really. I think if they drop points in those four games, then I just can't see it happening.
We've got quite a favourable run-in compared to, obviously, Leicester, who've got, I think, United, Chelsea and Spurs as their remaining three games. But, Perds, for me, I can just see Liverpool doing something amazing against Man United, who are maybe focusing on their Europa League commitments coming up and their fixture congestion. So maybe I can see us getting something out of that and then going and losing to Burnley
that
or something.
That is exactly what I was going to say. That is the worst case scenario, because I'll go mental after the full-time whistle on Thursday if we win, as if we've just won the league. And then we could easily go and mess it up against West Brom or Burnley. So I'd almost rather lose to Man United on Thursday and just have it done with. So the hope doesn't kill me as much, because I'm starting to build it now.
This is why you can't hope, because then if you beat Man United, then you can just enjoy that as a victory of, you know, against Man United. Because, like, if you'd said this a week ago, nobody would have been expecting us to be in a position, or 2 weeks ago, expecting us to be in a position to challenge for the top four. So that hasn't really changed, like I say, because it's still not in Liverpool's hands. So that hasn't really changed. So if you just go into that Man United game in the same mindset of you've just got to go and try and get as many points as you can, then
we're not going to do that, though, are we?
Well, exactly. So celebrate the win against Man United. I'd rather beat Man United and than lose to Man United. Because if you're going to lose one of the four games anyway, just don't make it Man United.
Oh, be so crushing.
Emma, West Brom already relegated. Burnley, yeah. Nothing to play for.
Oh,
and then home to Palace last day of the season. I mean,
yeah,
that's not bad, is it?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, it's
Liverpool have got a good run in, but that means absolutely nothing this season, and that's why I'm sort of like I'm being level headed. I'm not being pessimistic about it. I think they've absolutely got a chance, but for me, I just think you have to win all four games.
Question here then: does qualifying for the Champions League, is it going to matter to attracting transfers this summer? Emma, you're nodding at me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, if you want a top striker in, then you've got to be playing Champions League football, because you're not going to get a striker for, you know, and even one for decent money, I mean, you're going to have to be paying a bit of dollar for a top striker to come in that, you know, that can improve a side that's already got Firmino, Jota, Salah and Mane in there. Without the draw of Champions League football, I just can't see you getting that kind of striker in. I mean, you're looking at if the types of players that they're discussing to go to Man United or to go to Man City or Chelsea, etc. You know, they're talking about the likes of Harry Kane and players of the same ilk, and Jadon Sancho, Jack Grealish. They're not going to go to teams that aren't in the Champions League, not with the quality that they've got. So it's an absolute must for me.
Perds, give me slightly more optimism than that.
I wasn't actually. I was going to go even further.
Okay, we're finished.
This could be Klopp's biggest game in his Liverpool history, or one of them. In that,
he's won a Champions League final, Perds. You idiot!
Getting us into the next era, the path where we go down and play Europa League next season could see us piss about with more of the same players and stumble and not win the league again. If we get into the Champions League and we sign some top quality, we could dominate the next decade. You know, I think it's that close.
Oh, he's gone big.
Sorry. Geez. Now, I mean, I was going to present a counter argument in that Liverpool's transfer strategy has never been about buying players at the top of their game. Okay, you can use Thiago as the exception of that rule and maybe Alisson as well, but even players like Van Dijk, they weren't playing Champions League football before they came to Liverpool. Mane and Salah became superstars at Liverpool, and you know, all the rest of the players as well, and throughout the recent history at least, there are good examples of players that Liverpool have bought and brought on without the carrot of Champions League football. So if you look at players like Suarez and Coutinho even, and Jordan Henderson, these players were signed when Liverpool weren't a Champions League football club, which is encouraging. And I do sort of have faith in Michael Edwards to still be able to find those players. And because of Liverpool's recent history as 2020 Premier League winners and 2019 Champions League winners, that I think there is still that faith in Liverpool's ability to bounce back. Whereas maybe before, in previous seasons, when we've been out for 5 or 6 years, then it looks a bit bleaker. I still think Liverpool have got pull regardless of what happens this season. But yeah, obviously, if you're going to go and go big on, say, Jadon Sancho or something this summer, and you're going up against Manchester City or Man United, you want to be able to have Champions League football on the table for next season.
You're right. But those players were bought for the future. So we bought Van Dijk and then he wins the league in a couple of years' time. We're looking to keep winning stuff right now, which is why we bought in Thiago, to keep winning trophies. Obviously, it hasn't worked this season, but I think that's their mentality now, is to go for the bigger names so we can dominate for this period of time now that we've established ourselves there, as opposed to getting Robertson for 8 mil and in a few years' time, then we start winning. We need to keep winning now, I think.
Yeah. It's a different dynamic. Like, I think, like, it's really interesting points there, Andy, actually, and I hadn't really thought of it like that, but I do think it is different because, as per se, like, you were probably, Liverpool was sort of a team in transition there anyway, and they were looking upwards, whereas now, because they've been in the Champions League positions, they've been at the top and they're sort of declining. I think that's a dangerous position because it's difficult then for players coming in to see how you can immediately jump back up. I absolutely get what you're saying, but then, you know, when we talk about players like Jack Grealish and Harry Kane at the moment, they're not probably playing Champions League football anyway, but they're players that should be. And I think that's the problem, is that when you talk about players who should be playing Champions League that are already at that level, and you're competing with clubs that will absolutely be going for that. Any club that is competing in the Champions League next season will have an eye on Harry Kane if they've got a budget for him. Like, you'd be absolutely stupid not to. And if Liverpool are going up against those clubs who already have a hell of a lot more money, then you've got to have Champions League football to at least, you know, attract them to the brand of what Liverpool Football Club is, and not one that is perhaps looking slightly in decline as opposed to, you know, looking forward.
Can we rejoin the Super League? Is that an option?
Null and void it.
Yeah. just coming back to this game then specifically, where do we think this game will be won and lost against United? Perds, I'll go to you.
The scoreline.
Good.
I think, yeah. I think...
Michael Owen, all right, chill out.
Yeah.
I think if we need Kabak back, but I'm not sure that's going to happen. Because I thought...
Yeah, that's a little bit worrying, isn't it?
It's not fair for me to out Reece Williams like I'm about to. But he's not at the level we need right now, unfortunately. And it's through no fault of his own. He's been thrown in at the deep end. But you
not
can
to
tell,
face Cavani and Greenwood and Rashford.
Or even Che Adams. He's just not at the level at the moment. Hopefully he gets there. But against United's attack, Christ, we could be in for a big scoreline here.
All right, cheers for that. Jeez. Bundle of optimism today. What painkillers have they got you on? I thought it was going to make you a bit more... Emma, how do you see this game panning out?
Yeah, I think it's going to be won or lost in the transitions. I think Man United, with the pace that they've got in attack and, just the sort of the swift sort of, transition that they can get from sort of winning the ball back in the field and then... using the wide attackers and the likes of Mason Greenwood and Bruno Fernandes, who can sort of break through those lines, with sort of one ball, two passes, lots of first touches. I think between those sort of combinations up front, and I think that will cause all kinds of problems for Liverpool's makeshift defence. I think you've got to look after the ball. Like, that's the main thing.
Could be a big game for Fabinho then, in that sense.
Absolutely. I think he's going to be key. I think he has to dominate that midfield, but also I think he's probably got to play a little bit deeper in terms of providing that sort of like that protection for the back two, because I just think Fernandes particularly could have a bit of a field day in between that lines, just outside the box. So hopefully not.
Alisson's got to play exactly the same as well in that. Be switched on at every moment to come and clean up any errors we make, because that was key last game. We would have definitely lost that if he wasn't switched on. He was 100% focused, knowing that he's got two inexperienced centre-backs ahead of him. So he just needs another man of the match performance like that, and we could scrape something.
Good. Well, yeah, optimism. on that then, I'll go straight back to you, Pers. Prediction for this game on Thursday at Old Trafford. Will it be a first win since 2014?
Why not? 2-1 Liverpool.
Lovely stuff. You don't believe that. I could see it in your eyes just saying it. that won't be one you're tweeting back out for the engagement.
Right. Unless it's right. And hopefully I get 2 likes this time.
There you go. Emma, what are you saying?
I don't lie. So I'm being completely honest. 3-1, Man United.
Oh, no.
I'm going to go in the middle. I think Man United, with the fixture congestion, they may have to rotate a little bit. I think Liverpool are going to be so up for this that it will end in one of those terrible 0-0 draws that quite often happens in these games, which will still give us a slight chance, I think.
Yeah, can we draw? Can we draw?
But I mean, it all depends on what Leicester and West Ham do.
It's out of our hands.
But I mean, again, the good thing is that Leicester do have to play United, Chelsea and Spurs as their last 3 games.
Yeah.
So potentially they could lose all of those and then, we're in.
Easy.
And on that note of confidence, I think that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for listening. Drop us a review, subscribe, all of that stuff. We'll be back again. Well, next week then, to talk you through not only the Man United game, but it's West Brom after that, isn't it, Perds?
Is it? Yep, sure.
Good. Yeah, this is why I always introduce Emma as a real journalist, and you just
well,
as Perds.
Well, let me check it, and I'll hang on. When are we playing? West Brom away. 4:30.
Good. Okay. Do you want to do a prediction for that as well?
No, we'll save that. Tune in next time.
Good. All right, when it's already happened. All right, say goodbye, Perds.
Goodbye. Actually, might see you Friday if we win, if not Monday.
Good point. All right, potentially see you Friday, and it's goodbye from me and Emma. Say goodbye.
See you on Friday, hopefully. Bye-bye.